Hello and welcome to the Small Church Mentor Podcast, where we work to empower the pastors, leadership, and members of small churches to be what God wants them to be. Hi, I'm your host, Gary Fear, and I'm proud to serve you today. Today's topic, four attitudes for conflict resolution. I kind of debated on putting this one out here because I know there'll be plenty that'll disagree with some of these, and I guess for the most part, I'm not even going to pretend that a short blog of 15 to 20 minutes or a short blog or a 15 to 20 minute podcast can teach or show anyone how to resolve conflict. I mean, this is lifetime study, how to resolve conflict. And it's a soft science because it changes with each conflict that you're going to approach. I'm hoping, though, today in this short time, to help us realize that our attitude during the conflict will change the outcome of the conflict. And these four attitudes are not always the best. Please don't walk away with this and think to yourself, hey, these are the four attitudes I always need to have every time I go into conflict resolution. But these four have served me well most of the time. Time and again, these four attitudes have served me well. And I bring these four particular ones up. There's a lot more attitudes that you could have coming into conflict resolution. I bring these four attitudes up, though, because they're four that people don't often talk about. But as you look at the scripture and as you realize, you know, James chapter 3, verse 5, it says it this way. I've got a few scriptures I'm actually going to bring out in this podcast. I don't do it in every podcast, probably should, but this one especially I want to. James chapter 3, verse 5 says, "Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth against great things. But behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth." So just a little matter, just a little matter, that little bitty tongue can cause all sorts of trouble. And just had a message Sunday morning concerning, and we'll talk about it here in a little bit, but concerning Absalom and David the king, and how it is that if you don't let go of certain issues, it won't only affect you and hurt you. It can tear apart the entire community that you're a part of. That is good for any organization. Now, the church that I belong to for years, I haven't had to deal with much of all any conflict resolution. Now, on my job, I've dealt with some conflict resolution. So, and in the food pantry, I've dealt with some conflict resolution. So I do know a little of what I'm speaking of today. But the church has done pretty good. And every once in a while, that old tongue will raise its ugly head and we'll start wagging it. And then there'll have to be some cleanup, either from myself or for somebody else. And there'll have to be some cleanup. None of us is immune to causing conflict. None of us is immune. So as you're going into, if you're a pastor or a leader or even person in the church, as you go into trying to be that mediator, trying to solve that problem between two people, or maybe somebody has a problem with you, or maybe you have a problem with somebody else. I have four attitudes you go into. I'll mention the four, but please don't shut it off. I almost didn't mention them ahead of time because I don't want you to shut down this podcast. I want you to actually listen to what I have to say about these. Number one, indifference. Attitude, you go into it. Number two is intellectual or intelligence. Maybe that's not so much an attitude, but in going into something, looking intellectually instead of emotionally. Number three, with patience, having an attitude of patience. And number four, decisively, decisiveness. And if you get confused in a cereal aisle, then maybe decisiveness isn't your cup of tea. But let's go back to number one, indifference. Now, hear me out a little bit as I go into this indifference. I say it kind of tongue in cheek, but there's a truth to it. The answer to world peace is indifference. If you don't care what's going on, there's no fighting. If you have tough skin and somebody comes up to you and they say something to you, there's no argument. The matter ends. They may come up time after time and say something to you, the matter ends. Now, I'm saying indifference. Now, I'm not saying passivity. Please understand there's a difference. When I go into a situation, especially when I'm trying to help two people, two issues, two different opposing views, and sometimes it's not two people's. If you're in the church, you understand and you realize oftentimes it's two different groups. It's not usually just the people. For some reason, it's really hard in a church, especially a small church, to keep it between two people. It grows into the families, then it grows into other members in the church, and matters seem to grow. I don't know why it can't just stay small, but they seem to grow. Oh, how great a matter a little fire kindleth, right? When you enter into a problem and you're trying to solve a problem, or somebody comes to you, our first instinct is to put our all into it. We put ourselves in the middle of that situation. And in the realm of conflict resolution, in the realm of psychology and sociology, they call that empathy. I want to empathize for the person. I want to sympathize for the person. I want to feel what they're feeling. But if you can enter into this with indifference, hey, look, this isn't going to change my world one way or another. I decided a long time ago, looking out at our empty seats and being concerned about having so many empty seats, and now more and more of them are being filled, and more people are coming to church now than ever in the 17 years I've pastored. And it's kind of addicting, and it's really hard to look out and think that someday some of those folks won't be there and their pews may be empty again. Will I say something someday that's going to hurt somebody? Will I say something someday that's going to run somebody off? And it kind of bothers me. I had to put myself into mindset to realize that, hey, even if the pews are empty again, I need to find my value in God and not how many people are in my church. I need to find my value in that I'm walking where He wants me to walk and not that there's people in the pew. Therefore, when I enter into a situation, I have to devoid myself of any concern of how that will affect me personally, because it's not about us. It's about what is true, what is right. It's about solving that conflict in the best way that can. There's people involved in this. Proverbs 17:14 says, the beginning of strife is as when one letteth out water. Therefore, leave off contention before it be meddled with. My 9-year-old opened up the refrigerator door today, pulled out a gallon of milk, and knocked my tea on the floor. Before I can get to it, it had gone underneath the refrigerator, underneath the washing machine, underneath the, between the fridge and the counter, and it was, I couldn't stop the water from flowing. It just kept going, kept going, kept going, kept going, kept going. The only time you're going to continue a matter is when it means something to you. So if you can look at a situation coming up in the church, if you can look at a situation rising up between two groups, and you can say, you know what, it's okay if it goes under the dryer, just let it be. If you can look at that and say, hey, this isn't an end-all. This isn't a, well, somebody hurt my feelings. I know our feelings have been hurt before. We'll get over it. Let's look at this and see if we need to even consider doing anything more. The best way to stop the water is to dam it up. No more. No more. This is it. We stops here. And you can do that if you're not married to the issue. If you're indifferent about it. If you could shrug your shoulders and say, that's enough. It's not even worth dealing with. I got a 4-year-old son and he's prone to crying. Last night he fell on his head. Bumped his head. And he just starts crying, can hardly catch his breath, and picked him up and where did it hurt? And he showed me, and I said, did it hurt if I do this? And he's bawling, no, does it hurt if I do this? And I'm kind of poking around, seeing if there's any tender spots, anything I need. No. I said, does it hurt anymore? And he's just bawling his eyes out. He says, no. I said, then why are you crying? And he just looks at me. He says, I fell. I said, I know you fell. Does it hurt? He says, no. I said, then stop crying. And he stopped crying. Listen, if it doesn't hurt anymore, just stop the matter. It doesn't need to be rehashed over and over again. Go into it, and I spend a lot of time on number one because I believe in indifference. If you can walk into it, not passivity, you got to address it. You got to tend to it. You got to take care of it. But if it doesn't matter, don't keep letting the water out. Dam that water up, stop it from flowing, and move on with life. Intellectually, with an attitude of intelligence, check the emotions at the door. Don't get emotional about things. Listen, I love Proverbs 13:10. When I learned this, all of a sudden, conflict resolution changed. All of a sudden, my bad spirits towards others changed. I don't harbor grudges towards others. Now, I'm cautious towards people that are constantly doing others wrong, but I don't harbor bad feelings towards them. Proverbs 13:10 says, this is pivotal in our life. Only by pride cometh contention. It goes on, it says, but with the well-advised is wisdom. What has happened is that someone, I started reading that as though it was a verse. It's something I wrote down. I wrote down, what has happened is that someone else was offended. Most of the time, this has turned out to be emotional. Someone got hurt in this situation. Then somebody got hurt in a situation and they went to tell somebody and try to have that issue resolved. Then it offended that other person that somebody got hurt. Only by pride cometh contention. Only by pride cometh contention. Pride is emotional. I'm not talking about being proud of a job well done or something like that. I'm talking that emotional pride that comes in, that rears its ugly head. Somebody's feelings just got hurt. If you can check the emotions at the door, all of a sudden you can become a little more indifferent and you can move on past the situation. There's very few things you can say to Gary Fuhr that will hurt his feelings enough that there'll be conflict. Number three, patience. There are two sides to every story, and until you've heard them both, neither one is true. Never, 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 as you're dealing with conflict, try to make a change only hearing one side of the story. Get information. Be patient before you go to somebody and try to say something. Be patient. Until you've heard both sides, neither side is true. And let me tell you this, true. After you've heard both sides, neither side is true. There's a truth somewhere in the middle of both of them. And then finally, be decisive. Whatever needs to be done, do it with confidence. If you've been patient, if you've gone into this with indifference, if you've gone into it intellectually, indifference, you don't care, it doesn't change your world. You've gone into it intellectually, you haven't got caught up in the drama or the emotion. You've gone into it patiently, then you probably have a good idea of what needs to be done. Proverbs 22:10 says, cast out the scorner and contention shall go out. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease. I'm not saying you have to kick anybody out, but you may have to offend somebody to the point when they may not want to stay. I recently looked into the situation between David and Absalom. A little bit of contention in our church right now. So I looked into the story, the account of David and Absalom. And if you remember the whole thing with Absalom's sister and Amnon, his half-brother, and Absalom killed Amnon, his half-brother, for what he did to Amnon did to Absalom's sister. David didn't do anything except he banished Absalom, brought him back, and through a long process of time, Absalom tried to usurp the king from David, the kingship. He tried to take the kingdom from David. Absalom just David messed up, but Absalom wouldn't let it go. Somebody's going to offend you, and somebody's going to make you mad, and somebody's going to mess up. And if you're in a small church, it's going to happen often. And I got to point something out. You know, the end of that was Absalom's death. The end of the whole matter was Absalom's death. But we spotlight so much on the death of Absalom. And quite honestly, I don't care so much about the death of Absalom. The truth is, there were others in that war that died also. For a time, the kingdom was divided, all because one man wouldn't let the issue he had with the leader or his dad or the king, however you want to put it, he wouldn't let that issue drop. This was a personal issue that affected a nation. And chances are that if you're in the middle of a conflict with somebody else right now, the only thing that's keeping that conflict going is pride. It's pride. You could disagree with me, but you can't disagree with Scripture. If you, pastor, are dealing with two groups in your church that are arguing and fighting over some issue, it's just pride. Neither one of them want to admit they're wrong. The 4 points, if Absalom would have allowed himself to be indifferent, the issue with the king and the matter would have dropped. If he would have just gone on with his life and just said, hey, look, this bothers me to no end. I'm right. He's wrong. But you know what? I'm where I am right now. Let's just keep going. If he would have allowed himself to be indifferent, the matter would have dropped. If Absalom would have considered the issue intellectually, just thought through the results of a coup, not so much emotionally caught up in what he's doing, but look through the intellectually, what is going to be the results of this? Even if Absalom would have succeeded as being the king, there would have been innocent people died because he couldn't just let the issue drop. Isn't that foolish? If you're going through conflicts right now, if you're seeing it from the outside, or if you're experiencing it, think to yourself, what is the end of all this? Even if you win, what's the end of all this? I can't remember his first name now. I want to say it's David Allen, but that don't sound right. But there's a comedian out there, and he talks about his dad giving him marital advice, and he says, you know, when after you're married, you're going to argue. And every time you argue with your wife's son, this is his dad, Jeff Allen is his name. This is his dad giving him advice. He says, every time you argue with your wife's son, ask yourself 2 questions. Do you want to be right or do you want to be happy? You want to be right or do you want to be happy? Look, do you want to be right or do you want to keep the church going in the right direction? I can read some of your minds. Some of you are saying, but this is doctrinally wrong. This is scripturally wrong. This is spiritually wrong. This is not right. The pastor, this person, this teacher, this whatever is leading the church in the wrong direction. And that may be. And there's a spiritual or there's a scriptural process on how to address that. And if they don't receive, well, that'll be our last step. If Absalom would have been patient with the king. Listen, the king was softening towards him. Sometimes in our conflict resolution, we just need patience. And we think to ourselves, I've been patient. I've been patient for 2 years now. I've been patient for a year now. I've been patient for 3 weeks now. I know, patience is a long time. God's been patient with me for some 30 years now. And at least that's how long ago since I've had my first experience with the Lord. If Absalom would have been, the king was softening, he brought him home. After Absalom burned down Joab's fields, the king brought him into the, gave him audience. The Bible even says the king kissed him. The king was softening towards him. Absalom didn't have to go that route. Finally, remember I said that maybe the conflict is because the church is going in the wrong doctrinal or spiritual or maybe in the wrong direction, period. Our last point, number 4, the last attitude we need to have in conflict resolution is be decisive. If Absalom truly couldn't come into an agreement with the king, he should have cut ties with him altogether. If the conflict is too great, it is better to go quietly than to turn the whole church inside out. And maybe the direction the church is going is correct. Maybe it is right. Maybe it is the way that church needs to go. Maybe it's the way you're not to go. And maybe you are to find another place. Why tear it down? Why come against it? If it's of God, it'll grow. If it's not of God, it'll tear itself down. If you've let known your concern and no one will listen, and maybe it's time for you to move on. If you're trying to help others in conflict resolution, and this is hard for the pastor to do, but pastor, if you're trying to lead others in conflict resolution and they won't listen to you, maybe it's time to encourage them strongly to move on. One side or the other. You look out at the empty pews and think we can't afford any more empty pews. Let me tell you what, you can't afford to keep contentious people in your pews. What is it? What is it Solomon says? It's better to dwell on the corner of a roof than in a broad house with a contentious, brawling woman, I think it is. I don't know. I just kind of did that off the top of my head. I don't remember for sure. Four attitudes to go into. Try them and see if they don't work. Going with indifference, not passivity, I'm not saying don't care. I'm saying understand it doesn't matter to you. It won't change your world one way or another, and it shouldn't. Go into it intellectually, not emotionally. Check that emotion at the door. Think it through. Don't feel it. Go into it with patience. There's two sides to every story. Until you've heard both, neither one is true. And when you finally make a decision, and you have to act on that decision, go in it decisively. No one likes conflict. No one likes that struggle. But let me tell you what, those four attitudes have helped me through so much conflict, and I think it'll help you too. Sure appreciate your time. I sure appreciate you listening. I value your time. If you have any comments, please leave them at smallchurchmentor.com. If you want to get a hold of me, it's at smallchurchmentor@gmail.com. And hey, like us on Facebook. Share us as often as you can. I'd appreciate it. And I will talk to you next week.